Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in Matthew 9:35 through 36. Jesus continued going around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for reading God's word for us this morning. So we're continuing in our summer sermon series, which is on our church's vision, mission, and core values. And so this is our fourth week, and so I trust that you know what's about to happen here. So I will invite you all to stand with me once again. This is our daily check to make sure everyone's awake here at this point in the service. And we're going to recite our vision, mission, and core values together. They'll be on the screen behind me. So let's do that. At California EC Church, we are cultivating a community for Christ. At California EC Church, we will rely on the Word of God to transform lives and make disciples in the communities in which we live. At California EC Church, we are Bible-based, authentic, relational, compassionate, and mission-minded. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me open us with a word of prayer this morning as we begin this sermon, and then we'll talk about our fourth core value. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this sermon series and for these things. And for God, the vision and direction that you have given us as a church. And our prayer throughout this series is that we would truly live these things out, that these things would be true of us as individuals, that it would be true of us as a church. And so, Father, help us to continue to follow you and to listen to your word and your voice. May you speak through me in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to be compassionate? This is our fourth core value that we're talking about this morning, that we as a church are compassionate. Recently, Natalie and I were driving through a shopping center, and we were on our way to Target, which is a favorite place of many of us. Yes, I see some affirmation from people in the back. On our way to Target, we saw not one but two people who were panhandling on the corner. Maybe you've seen that as well on your way to Target. Now, if you're anything like me, when you see those people on the corner asking for help, you experience a ton of conflicting emotions in a very short amount of time. In my mind, that goes something like this. I should help this person. Usually that's the first thought. And then the next thought is, well, you know, I should keep my money to myself. You know, I worked hard for that. That's mine. I could spend that money better on other things, right? Then the next thought is, well, you know, I wonder what happened to this person for them to get to this point where they're on a street corner asking for money. Then my next thought is, well, drugs are probably involved, right? Because that's what we've been told is generally true of people asking for help. And well, if I give them any money, well, they'll just use it to buy drugs. Then my next thought is, well, no, I should help them. I mean, look at me walking through this Target buying things that, you know, maybe I don't really need. Then my last thought is, okay, well, maybe we should help them just a little bit, right? Not a lot, but, you know, I'll give them something, right, to help out. Now, I, and Natalie gets mad at me for this, I'm not the kind of person who likes to just hand money out the window, you know, and say, here you go. No, I will park my car and I will walk up to people and I will ask them questions about, you know, what's going on, you know, what brought you to this point, what do you need help with, and I usually offer to pray with them and tell them that God loves them, and 'cause that is truly what they need in that time. Now, no matter how much I end up helping or not helping a person, I always walk away with that feeling of, I wish I could have done more. Maybe you can relate to that as well. Often, it will nag at me for days, and you can probably tell just from me telling the story that I'm still thinking about those people. I can picture them in my mind. Now, if you can relate to any of that from that story, then it's likely that you have experienced compassion. Compassion, and I looked up this definition for the word compassion in the dictionary. Compassion is a word that has a two-part definition. The first part is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. And then the second part of the definition is a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. So two parts. Now we're talking about our fourth core value this morning, which is compassionate. But what does it mean for us as a church to be compassionate? Now Elizabeth read for us from Matthew chapter 9, just two verses at the end of the chapter. And those verses that Elizabeth read for us come after a long section in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus does many incredible things. At this point in the book of Matthew in chapter 9, Jesus has finished up his main body of teaching. He has completed his Sermon on the Mount, which is widely known, and he has now moved into showing his disciples what it looks like to actually live out the Sermon on the Mount and to apply this teaching that he has given to them. And so here is what Jesus has done so far in Matthew chapter 9. If you look through your Bible, you can probably get this from the different headings for the sections that are there. Jesus has forgiven and healed a paralyzed man. Jesus has called a hated tax collector to follow him. Jesus has answered questions from the Pharisees about fasting. Jesus raised a girl from the dead and healed a sick woman. Jesus healed two blind men and gave them the ability to see once again. And then finally, to wrap it all up, Jesus drove demons out of a mute man and then gave him the ability to speak once again. So it's a pretty busy day for Jesus. Now, it's likely that all of that didn't happen in a day, but it's at the end of all of that that Jesus says these words, and I'll read them for us again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had, and there's our word, compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And that first verse is really just a summary of all that Jesus had done, a one-line summary, but it's also a way of saying that Jesus likely did even more than this, even more than what can be contained in this chapter. That second verse provides a window into the heart through which Jesus did all of these things. The first thing he did was that he saw the crowds. See, the first part of being compassionate is seeing. And what I mean by that is that to have compassion, you first have to see someone who is in need or needs help or someone to have compassion on. And Jesus saw the crowds of people here because he was out among the crowds of people. He had made himself available to them and had traveled and lived amongst them. And so he has clearly seen their needs. We've been saying throughout this sermon series that all of these core values flow into one another. And so the relational value that Scott talked about last week flows directly into the compassionate core value. As Scott said, our church being relational means that we focus on two core relationships: our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And being compassionate flows directly out of both of these relationships. We can be compassionate with others because God has first been compassionate with us. Now, God has a long history in the Bible of being compassionate. Back in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" So like the relational core value, the compassionate core value also revolves around two key relationships with others: our relationship with our church family, our relationship amongst ourselves, but also our relationship with those outside of our church, those who we may know or those who we may not know. See, both of those groups of people are in need of compassion. But we will never know if either of those groups need compassion if we don't see them, if we aren't living among them or living with them. See, it's impossible to have compassion if you never encounter somebody who is in need. The problem is that often we try and insulate our lives from people who are in need. See, if I am not in need, then usually I would surround myself with people who are also not in need. See, when we see someone who is in need, so often we try and look away as quickly as possible. If I act like I didn't see that person on the street corner who's asking for help, well, then maybe I won't have to help them. If I don't talk to that person in church who I know is going through a hard time, well, then maybe I won't have to offer to pray for them or to visit with them or to ask them how I can help them. See, having compassion requires seeing people. And sometimes seeing people is difficult. It's much easier to be around someone who is not in need because, well, I don't have to do the hard work of helping them. It's much easier to not see that person standing on the street corner. But what is Jesus doing in these verses? He is looking at the people in the crowds. He is seeing them, and he is refusing to look away from them. He sees their needs, and he has compassion on them. Now, the question for us is, well, how many people do I see who are in need each day? And what can I do to increase that number? We don't typically think like that, but you see, we tend to avoid those places where we see people in need, right? Well, we can't drive through that part of town because, well, it's not safe, when really we also mean, well, I might see people who are in need there. I can't go in that door at Walmart because there are people outside asking for help. So I'll just go in the other door at Walmart, right? There's two doors, so I'll just go in that one. See, Jesus didn't just go to the parts of Jerusalem and Judea where people had it all together. He went to the places where he knew people were in need. See, compassion means moving towards the people who are in need, not away from them. And Jesus moved towards people who were in need because he had something to give them. He had something amazing to give them. And friends, I believe that we can do the same thing because we also have something amazing to give people, whether we realize it or not. So as Jesus looks upon the crowds in these verses and he has compassion on them, we have to ask another important question, which is why? Well, why does Jesus have compassion on these people? Well, those verses give a short answer. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. See, Jesus has compassion on them not just because of their needs. He has compassion on them not because they need forgiveness or healing or a calling on their lives or questions to be answered or resurrection from the dead or deliverance from demons. Jesus has compassion on them because they are lost. They have no direction. They have no one to lead them. They have no one who is taking care of them. They're harassed and helpless because they are vulnerable, and they're vulnerable because they don't know where to go. See, the need that Jesus sees and the need that Jesus has compassion on here is a need that lies at the core of a person. The need for a purpose, a direction, and an identity. The need to have something outside of yourself to find value in. See, these people have been asking the question, what does it mean to truly live? Where can I truly have life and find life to the fullest? And because they don't have a shepherd, they are finding the answer to those questions in anything that promises to fulfill them. And in that searching for the answers to those questions, they have found that nothing can fulfill them. So they are harassed and helpless because in their searching, they've placed their worth and their value and their satisfaction in all of the wrong places. They've sought help and leadership from all of the wrong people, people that are leading them astray. And so, yes, Jesus has met their presenting needs in this passage, their physical needs, but he sees their greater need, their true need. He sees their spiritual need. He sees that they need a shepherd, they need a savior. Being compassionate isn't just about seeing. Being compassionate is also about knowing. And by knowing, I mean that we don't just see people who are in need, but we also see what lies behind the need. We know all of the pain and the grief and the suffering that must exist behind a need that a person has. We know that when a need presents itself, that is rarely the only issue going on. The person who is out panhandling on a street corner asking for money, their need might be for financial help, but there's likely many other needs going on that lie behind the surface. See, a compassionate response and what it means to be compassionate in our lives involves knowing about needs that are emotional, spiritual, relational, and material, and how they all intertwine with one another. See, a compassionate response that doesn't meet all of the needs that a person has might not actually be a compassionate response. If all I do is meet the material need that a person has, well, what does that do to help them from getting to that place again? What have I done to address the emotional or relational issues that lie underneath the surface? See, my compassionate response to that person may just be keeping that person in that place. It may also be making that person dependent on me and the help that I'm giving them. So when we say that we are compassionate at California, this is what we mean. We don't mean that we are compassionate in a touchy-feely way that, you know, makes us feel good about ourselves and the good things that we do for other people, or how good we feel when we help others. We are compassionate in a way that is helping to lift people out of their situation of turmoil, and doing so in a way that helps them to not get to that place again. You see, true compassion, helping the true needs that people have, is much harder work. See, it's much easier for me to simply hand money out of my car to someone, right? True compassion flows out of authenticity, our second core value, flows out of relationship, our third core value. And as we've been talking about, both of those things require proximity. See, getting closer to the person so that we know what their true needs are. Getting closer to the root cause of the problem is hard work, but it is good work. It's the work that we need to be doing as a church. You see, when we see people who are in need, as I've said, we need to see beyond their presenting need. We need to see to their true need, their need for a savior. And thankfully, we know one. See, the greatest need that anyone has is to find forgiveness for their sins, to receive the promise of eternal life that is available to them through faith in Christ Jesus. As we have compassion on people, we have to also remind them of this hope that we have in them, and that this is the greatest hope that we can have no matter what our needs are, and that this hope can never be taken away from us. See, putting our faith in Jesus, asking someone else to put their faith in Jesus, doesn't mean that all of our problems will go away in an instant. But putting our faith in Jesus does help us to handle our needs, and it points us to the one who is our greatest help in our time of need. Now, we've talked about how being compassionate is both seeing and knowing, but lastly, being compassionate also requires doing. See, compassion without action isn't really compassion at all. Compassion without action is really just sympathy, but true compassion requires action. See, as Jesus looks over the crowds and has compassion on them, it's coming from this place of what he has already done for them, right? His acts of forgiveness and healing, his calling of a tax collector, his answering of questions from the doubters, his raising of a girl from the dead, and on and on. All of those things stemmed from the compassion that he had. And the things that Jesus did flowed from the compassion that he had. And so when Jesus sends out his disciples in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 10, to do these same things, it's from that place of compassion that Jesus sends them out to do those things. Now, if you're wondering what compassion looks like for us as we seek to live this out as people and as a church, I would say that we don't have to look any further than what we see here in this passage. See, compassion looks like forgiving others and showing them the forgiveness that is available to them through Jesus. Compassion looks like healing the ailments of those who are sick and praying for those who are sick. Compassion looks like calling the outcasts of our society into community as Jesus does for Matthew. Compassion looks like answering the questions of those who have doubts and being honest with them. Compassion looks like telling others about the resurrection from the dead and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and that through faith in him, one day we will too. Compassion looks like giving the blind sight and driving demons out of those who are afflicted. See, in Psalm 28, we see the heart of God on full display. And that passage in Psalm 28 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." See, I think where the church has gone wrong over the centuries is that we have forgotten that we are supposed to be this compassionate presence in our communities. The church is a place where we bear each other's burdens as a church family, but we also seek to bear the burdens of those who are outside of our doors. Now, there is a danger that comes with compassion. There is a temptation for compassion to become condescension, to help people from a place or a feeling of superiority, to become so puffed up by the compassion that we show to others that it really isn't compassion anymore, but instead it's pride. See, compassion must always be paired with humility. We don't help people because we have something to give to others. We help people because we have had so much given to us. We have compassion because we have been shown compassion. You see, this is what Jesus did when he came to be with us, right? When Jesus has compassion on the crowds here, he has compassion on them from within them. He has taken on flesh to come into the world and to be with them. And he can have compassion on them because he has now seen and experienced the things that are afflicting them. See, in order to show us compassion, Jesus first had to humble himself by coming to be with us. And it is from that place of humility that he then helps us. See, when we show compassion to others, we first have to lower ourselves from our place of prominence, from our station, and to lower ourselves to be with those who are in need, and to truly be with them, to experience the things that they experience, to be afflicted by the things that afflict them. If we simply stay on a pedestal and hand things down off of it, then that isn't compassion. See, this is what makes the compassion of Jesus so great, is that not only did he come to be with us, but he came to die for us, to die in our place. He humbled himself, not only in becoming human, but by humbling himself to the point of death on the cross. See, Jesus' ultimate act of compassion was dying for us. And when Jesus died for us, he took all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, onto himself. And he bore that burden for us. Sin that he didn't commit, and the punishment for sin that he did not deserve, he took onto himself. And he did that so that we could be set free from sin and death itself, and to have the opportunity to be raised to eternal life with him. See, when we have compassion on others, we follow the example that Jesus set for us in his compassion. See, true compassion means taking on the burden of another and helping to carry it with them, even if that burden is not one that we deserve. It means saying to someone else, "I am with you," and taking on what is true of them and making it true of you as well. See, when Jesus has compassion on the crowds in these verses, he sees their need for a shepherd. He sees their need for him. He sees their need for salvation, and he sees that their true problem isn't the things that ail them. What they truly need is to be set free from their sin. As I think about these verses, I just kind of imagine Jesus looking out over the crowds here and knowing fully what he had come to the earth to do, knowing that his death on the cross was coming. He knew what he must do. And as he looks out over the crowd and he sees these people and he has compassion on them, he is thinking in his mind, they're worth it. See, Jesus is thinking, they are worth dying for. Jesus looked out across all time and he saw all people and he said, you are worth dying for. See, that is compassion. So as you look out over this room, is that how you feel about the people here? Are you willing to die for the people in this room? Well, that one might be pretty easy, right? Sure. I take a bullet for every one of you, right? Hopefully you would do the same for me. But as you look out over the crowds in your life, as you encounter people in your day-to-day, as you see people who are standing on a street corner and asking for help, is this how you feel about them? Are they worth dying for too? Jesus says that they are, right? And Jesus died for them too, just as much as he died for you and me. Are you willing to be Jesus to that person, to show them the sacrificial love of Jesus, to take their burden onto yourself and to walk with them through it? See, the way that that is done is through compassion. Now, my prayer is that we would be a compassionate church made up of compassionate individuals who love one another in this way. Let me pray for us as we close. Father, it seems so far-fetched at times when we reflect on the love that Jesus has shown us and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And Father, we sometimes we're so far from showing that same love to other people. Help us to have this same compassion on those who we encounter in our lives, to bear their burdens, to help them, to truly help them, to meet their true need. Father, would you help us to love in this way? This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.